Thank you. This is good, you can hear? Fine. Thank you for coming. Since we're in a bookstore called The White Whale, as a Melvillian, I thought I'd read a couple poems from the Among Ruins book that also figure Melville. One is the title poem. And one is a poem about the Leona Theater, which is no longer above ground in Homestead, where I first saw a movie by John Huston in 1956 called Moby Dick that did a number on me. All right, Among Ruins is about the waterfront. You know what the waterfront is. It's this travesty that has replaced the Homestead Works of the United States Steel. Among Ruins. One, smokestack, 160-inch mill. Pillar, obelisk, mast. It loomed beside the bridge since before I was born. A minaret from which they might have marked the shifts, steel sheathed and lined with brick. 20 feet wide at the base, they've imploded, a blow like a sledge, and then the slow motion buckle and forward pitch. A last controlled blast where we dreamt of winds endless as the centuries. The dead calm of masonry, Melville, once traced in the pyramids. As long as earth endures, he wrote, some vestige will remain, which is the way we'd thought of mills. Ruins like fabulous tombs. A last nail in the coffin of something that died 15 years ago, a mill hunk complained. And Melville, no moss, as in other ruins, no grace of decay, no ivy. And the second part of the poem is words written for the historical marker planned for the 12,000-ton press. This is behind Lowe's, if you're ever down there. Scrolled and monumental, 40 feet high, it stands in the lot behind Lowe's like something Mayan cleared from the vines, the housing sheared away, the forging division, and the press shop. What's left are the shafts of the double ram, the entablature, massive as a headdress, and those 17 feet of base, a counterweight sunk beneath the blacktop. Think of it. This out-compressed the planet in pounds per square inch, water oceanic through the surge tanks and pumps, stele and relic, tool and die. And now these words to remember it by. You know, we lost the whole Industrial Revolution is gone, and nobody, you know, why didn't that get a footnote somewhere? I mean, why wasn't that? It's like, geez, we're now at the end of the Industrial Revolution. This was a major story. When I was in grade school, you know, we're in the Industrial Revolution. This and it starts in Homestead. Gone and this enormous scale now down to a microchip, you know, and no, you know, fine by me. astonishing. It's like looking at those Egyptian pyramids and then, I don't know, who cares? It's gone. Try. All right, Moby Dick, Leona Theater, Homestead, 1956. A sonnet, and it rhymes too. First, the floodlight curtains parting like the sea. Then that rock-shacked figure making his way among the trees and fountain spray of the cataract diagonally down the screen, when all at once from the darkness the paused imperative comes, call me Ishmael. I'm still trying to account for the thrill of those syllables on a boy as clueless as me. But even before Queequeg, the Pequod, or Ahab appears, before the stark masts fill with St. Elmo's fire, the film with Pip's revelation that the whale was a great white god, I'm hooked, just blocks above the sullen mills that will in time become my whale ship. All right, a couple music, some nice music poems before. I thought I'd add to that, if I might. One is called Ahmad Jamal, a great pianist. It's from Atini Harris, who was a great local photographer for Pittsburgh Courier. Ahmad Jamal playing the piano at the Kay's Boys Club circa 1945. He's all spruced up and beaming in front of the battered upright, a trumpet case beneath him so he can more easily reach the keys. The Mozart of Apple Avenue. He's now halfway through his teens and that many years again from his fabled gig at the Pershing. A few sheets of music lie open on the rack, pianos, hammers showing where the inlaid panel should be, crammed together notes. He'll find a way to space within his meticulous shifting rhythms. There's a this better be good look on the face of the man standing canted against the wall behind him, an early critic perhaps of the style dismissed by some as cocktail, though Miles was always taken with the intelligence of his phrasing. Poinciana most famously, and but not for me, the mega hit he'd refused to play for years, suffering his version of early success. To have had all that packed and waiting right from the start, who's had a bigger send-off? Pittsburgh meant everything to me, and it still does, he would say decades later. In the photograph, the Bentwood back of his chair is as elegantly scrolled as a clef. And this goes with a poem called The Piano, which was in my aunt's home, who was a Methodist. My mother died, and then I got stuck with these Methodists for a while. And that's a grim send-off, let me tell you. There should not have been a piano in the home. I mean, just the idea of music was... So, but there was. It was this piano stuck in the, against the wall, a small upright. Silent, it was just another piece of furniture in my aunt's living room. Its black gloss upright and dusted in turn, and the bench in which sheet music was stashed away, hinged under wraps like the keyboard. A world my boredom barely disturbed, sending a few stray notes into the room. The pedals doing nothing, it seemed, whether I floored them or not. What tunes would I have been noodling anyway, back in 1955, even if I'd known them? And the reference now is to Errol Gardner, local great jazz pianist. Misty, perhaps, or Earl's theme. My father's Methodist half-sister would have allowed neither to disturb the waters of the River Jordan, stoppered in that jar on top of her TV. Whatever songs she pounded out for me were hymnal, her strict fingers marching off to war. Even Be Thou My Vision, which I couldn't listen to for years, till Van Morrison roused it like a song you might hear in a pub. Spiritus and spirits, she'd hardly have approved of that. Plotting, plagial, in service to their words, the tunes were mostly cupboard bare. It seemed like she knew them all by heart. And finish up with a couple, maybe another, I think there was a music poem in here. Okay, here's a little poem called Winter Concert. In the candle, in the dark of December, we'd spent the evening listening to Coltrane and Pharoah Sanders and, on vinyl, Charles Lloyd. Their scales and rasped falsettos, the underblown fluttering codas, a kind of echolalia spun from the air, the spirit almost vapor, almost the sound you hear inside the shell. Music, because we need to be somehow beside ourselves, body and soul, our feelings, the acoustics of the room, filled with those trellising arpeggios. Then on a whim, I unjacketed an album of recordings of humpback whales, their long, looping, beautifully built solos rising out of the sounding depths. Amazed, I could have missed the obvious resemblances up till then, tonals, moans, flattened notes, all of it, the imperatives of the mammal breath. How immense the distances of longing to convene within the darkness as song. And I want to finish this a two-part poem on cardinals, a winter poem. So it's two parts, so it's called Cardinal, Cardinal. That berry brightness against the snow and green of the mountain laurel, against the juncos, their foraging squall and the barely weeds just below, the cardinal insisting on distance, at least between the males set back in the atrium heart of the branches. On the ground, pecking seeds is another thing, though even here they never seem remnants of any flock or to remain long as one of a pair, even though they're paired for life, unlike the juncos, which are multiple and burning black against the snow. And you, brightness, out on a limb, the focal point again of the landscape. You're the first bird at the feeder again today, perched in profile, plying seeds, an eye to the structure of the light. Cardinal, the book says, on which something else hinges, like the doors of the air about your flight, the air you've gladdened all winter with those note-perfect solos taken up note for note by your mate. Cardinal flower, virtue, number, point, a bestower of gifts like the bird in the bush that in the hand would be the heart line. Thank you.